So imagine sitting on your couch on like a random Tuesday, and suddenly your living room ceiling just silently splits open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and dust particles seem to literally drift down into your actual physical room, and then a massive, completely photorealistic dragon, fully rendered in Unreal Engine 5, by the way, drops from the sky, perches its weight right onto your wooden TV stand, locks eyes with you, and just prepares to breathe fire.
That is
Right, and
terrifying.
you literally find yourself diving behind your actual physical couch to avoid the blast.
And the craziest part is you aren't in some theme park or a specialized simulator for this.
Exactly.
You're just wearing a pair of glasses that look like everyday Ray-Bans.
Right. You aren't isolated in some, dark virtual void either.
Yeah.
Today is June 4, 2026, and we are unpacking what is just an absolute tectonic shift in how human beings interact with digital space.
It really is a paradigm shift.
It's massive.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a deep dive from Tech and Mag today. It's titled Beyond the Screen: The Mixed Reality Revolution of 2026. And our mission here is to really understand how mixed reality, or MR, hasn't just improved upon old VR,
No.
but has essentially torn down the entire veil between reality and fiction. So, okay, let's unpack this. Because for years, the narrative was that immersive tech meant isolation.
Yeah,
You put a
exactly.
heavy box on your face and you just completely blocked out the real world.
Which was the old paradigm, yes. Virtual reality was basically all about sensory deprivation. But this 2026 mixed reality framework, it flips that entire architecture on its head.
Right.
Instead of blinding you to your surroundings, these devices use really advanced pass-through cameras, so they're constantly ingesting the physical world, processing it, and then broadcasting it back into your retinas at zero latency. And we're talking true retina resolution here. Yeah, so you're seeing the real world perfectly. But now the hardware can seamlessly render three-dimensional digital elements directly into that physical space. Your environment isn't replaced, it's just upgraded.
But wait, I mean, the tech industry has been promising this sort of utopia for almost a decade, right?
Yeah.
Like when the Apple Vision Pro launched way back in 2024, the pitch was exactly this: spatial computing.
Right. Spatial
Yet
computing.
we didn't exactly see everyone instantly throwing out their laptops back then.
We didn't know, but the bottlenecks back then weren't conceptual. They were purely physical and economic.
Well, okay.
You were dealing with hardware that weighed, over half a kilogram. It was strapped to your face, constantly pulling your neck forward and costing thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, totally inaccessible for most people.
Exactly. They were brilliant proofs of concept, sure,
Yeah.
but mass adoption requires absolute frictionless comfort. And what Tech and Mag really maps out here is that 2026 is the true inflection point.
Which is where we are now.
Right. We finally have mass market, economically viable models from Meta, specifically looking at the Orion series and the Quest 4, alongside Apple's newer ultralight iterations. And these are the devices that are actually putting the very existence of the physical smartphone at risk.
Which means we are essentially officially watching the death of the physical screen. I mean, if your glasses can accurately pin a digital object into the physical world, there is basically zero utility in hanging a massive piece of black plastic on your wall just to watch a movie.
Oh, the physical constraints of traditional media are entirely gone, completely. Consumers are completely abandoning those expensive 85-inch flat screens.
Why wouldn't they?
Exactly, because your MR glasses can generate a 300-inch 8K holographic display and spatially anchor it to literally any blank wall in your apartment.
And that spatial anchoring is the key here, right?
It is, yeah. The glasses use spatial mapping to lock those pixels to exact coordinates in your physical room. So if you walk away and come back, say, 2 days later, that screen is still hovering in the exact millimeter of space where you left it.
That is wild. And just think about the economic and architectural implications for professionals. If you were a programmer, a day trader, an architect, you used to need this massive desk just to hold three or four physical
Oh,
monitors.
yeah, huge setups.
You were literally limited by the square footage of your office,
Yeah.
but now that entire multi-monitor setup is just suspended in the 3D space around your head.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's absolute spatial liberation. We are moving into an era of infinite, customizable digital space.
Wow.
You just turn your head, and there is another perfectly rendered workstation. It's completely weightless, it generates zero heat in your room, and it takes up zero physical footprint.
It's literally like carrying a private IMAX theater and a NASA command center right in your pocket.
Basically, yes.
You could just deploy it on an airplane tray table or like a tiny studio apartment.
Oh.
Oh, and the source points out a crucial detail here. MR creates 3D objects that interact with real-world physics. It's not like the old augmented reality, or AR, which basically just slapped 2D information over your view.
Right, the physics integration is huge.
But for people to actually ditch their physical TVs, the hardware had to undergo a massive mutation. Because nobody is going to wear a bulky ski goggle to a local coffee shop.
No, definitely not. And that hardware mutation is really the core driver of this revolution. We had to move away from that helmet architecture entirely.
Right. And looking at the specs for these 2026 models, it's unbelievable. They weigh under 50 grams. They look almost exactly like slightly thick-rimmed casual sunglasses.
Yeah, very sleek.
But what I don't fully understand is the power draw. I mean, running an 8K holographic display over your retinas has to require a massive amount of energy. Traditional lithium-ion batteries would be way too heavy to fit into a 50-gram frame.
They absolutely would be. And that's where the massive leap in material science comes in.
Okay.
These frames aren't using traditional lithium-ion at all. They are powered by new solid-state graphene batteries, and they're hidden right inside the arms of the glasses.
Graphene? Wait, what exactly is that?
So graphene is essentially a single layer of carbon atoms, and they're arranged in this hexagonal lattice structure.
Okay.
And what that does is it allows for an insane energy density and extremely rapid thermal dissipation without adding any bulk. So you're actually getting over 18 hours of continuous charge out of something that weighs a fraction of what your old smartphone battery weighed.
That is incredible. Okay, so the battery problem is solved by graphene. But what about the visual fidelity? Because, you know, early VR headsets had that terrible screen door effect where you could literally see the unlit space between the pixels. It just broke the immersion instantly.
Oh, yeah, it was very distracting. But to solve that, the industry transitioned to micro-OLED screens, and the pixel densities on these things are frankly terrifying.
Terrifying how?
Well, the pixel pitch, which is the distance between the center of one pixel and the next, is so microscopically tight that the human eye physically cannot resolve individual diodes anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it perfectly mimics the smoothness of natural light bouncing off physical objects.
That makes sense. But there was another major physiological hurdle with older headsets, right? Eye strain. Because the screens were sitting just an inch from your eyes, forcing your ciliary muscles to focus at a single unnatural fixed distance for hours on end.
Right, the vergence accommodation conflict.
Exactly.
Yes. Your eyes would naturally try to converge on a digital object that looked far away, like a mountain in a game. But the physical light was still coming from a screen sitting 1 inch from your face.
Which caused massive headaches and nausea.
Exactly. Mm. So the 2026 solution to that is varifocal lenses.
Varifocal.
Yeah. These lenses use microscopic actuators to physically shift their focal length in milliseconds, and they perfectly sync up with where your eyes are tracking.
No way.
Yeah. So if you look at a holographic coffee cup sitting on your desk, the lens instantly adjusts for near-field focus. But if you look at your window at a digital billboard floating a mile away, the lens immediately shifts to infinite focus.
Wow.
So your eye muscles work exactly as they do in biological reality. No more strain.
Okay, wait. So if the battery is hidden in the arms, and these complex micro OLEDs and varifocal lenses take up the front, there's absolutely no room left for a heavy graphics processing unit. I mean, you can't exactly fit a cooling fan into a pair of Ray-Bans, so they have to be offloading the actual computing somewhere else, right?
Precisely. They utilize what's called distributed cloud offloading.
Okay.
The glasses you are wearing actually aren't rendering the graphics at all. Think of the glasses as a very sophisticated puppet, and the computer as the puppeteer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the glasses are just lightweight receivers and sensory arrays. All the heavy heat-generating algorithmic processing is happening off-board.
So, like, my smartphone in my pocket is doing the heavy lifting.
Either your smartphone via a hyper-fast, low-latency wireless tether, or, and this is becoming more common, the glasses bypass the phone entirely and pull the rendered graphics directly from 6G internet cloud servers.
Straight from the cloud.
Exactly. The remote server calculates all the light physics and sends the final rendered frame back to the glasses faster than your brain can even perceive the delay.
Which perfectly explains how the hardware shrunk so drastically. And if you look at who is actually surviving this hardware mutation, Tech & Mag breaks down this really fascinating three-horse race in the market.
Yes, the market segmentation is really interesting right now.
Right. So first you've got the Meta Orion Pro. And they push an extreme field of view, really heavily prioritizing seamless integration with social media and digital communication for general users.
Right. And then, of course, you have Apple's Vision Air. They've maintained their traditional walled garden approach, offering just flawless ecosystem integration with all their other devices.
Natural.
And the Vision Air is entirely controlled by imperceptible micro movements of your eyes and fingers. They are distinctly targeting the luxury lovers and executive markets.
Yeah, it makes sense for Apple. And then taking up the mass consumer flank is the XR Lite 3. It's aggressively priced under $300, tethered directly to Android phones, and laser-focused on the gaming and movie-watching demographic.
A very smart strategy.
Yeah. But, talking about those micro-movements brings us to a massive user interface problem. Because if I don't have a physical mouse and I'm not holding a physical glass rectangle anymore, how do I actually click on things? Because waving your hands in the air all day, like Tom Cruise in Minority Report, is definitely not a viable 8-hour-a-day workflow.
No, it's actually a physiological nightmare. It's a highly documented ergonomic failure known in the industry as gorilla arm syndrome.
Gorilla arm syndrome.
Yeah. The human musculoskeletal system simply isn't designed to hold the arm suspended in midair, performing precise micro gestures for long periods. The lactic acid buildup causes severe fatigue within just a few minutes.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Because to solve gorilla arm syndrome, the tech industry had to completely bypass the hands.
Yes, they did.
They moved to non-invasive brain-computer interfaces, or BCI.
It sounds like pure science fiction, I know, but it is the fundamental interaction model of 2026. The commercial divisions of companies like Neuralink, specifically their non-medical sector alongside Meta's Reality Labs, developed these neural wristbands.
Okay.
Now, these aren't surgically implanted or anything. They just sit on your wrist like a standard smartwatch, but they are absolutely packed with electromyography or EMG
Wait,
sensors.
so th they are reading the electrical signals traveling down my arm from my brain.
Exactly. They read the efferent nerve pulses traveling from your motor cortex down to your spinal motor neurons.
Wow.
So the inward-facing cameras on the glasses track your pupils to use as the mouse cursor. You just look at a holographic button, and to click it, you don't actually have to move your finger at all.
You don't move it at all.
Nope. You just send the neural intention to press the button. The wristband intercepts that biological electrical signal a millisecond before your muscle even twitches, and it executes the digital click.
That is literal, real-world telekinesis.
It really feels like it.
And when you combine that telekinetic control with high-fidelity spatial computing, it completely rewrites human interaction. I mean, Tech and Mac highlights how the traditional 2D video conferencing market, Zoom and standard office laptops, just took a massive economic hit because of telepresence.
Oh, the 2D grid of faces on a screen is completely obsolete now.
Yeah.
With telepresence, the inward-facing cameras on your glasses map your pupils, your eyebrows, your micro-expressions. They map all of that live biometric data onto a photorealistic 3D avatar.
Right.
So when you have a meeting, that avatar is beamed directly into the physical chair across from your colleague in their actual living room.
And because it's mapping your real-time facial muscle movements, the avatar captures the subtle smirk, the eye contact, the slight nod. It completely bypasses the uncanny valley because the biomechanics behind it are real.
Exactly. Mark Zuckerberg actually outlined the exact philosophy driving this in the source material. He argued that for over a decade, human beings had deviated from their evolutionary baseline by constantly looking down into their palms at glowing rectangles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Human sociology is built on eye contact and spatial proximity. MR is specifically designed to get the physical technology out of the way so we can finally look up again and look into each other's eyes.
It's a really compelling sociological pitch, honestly.
Yeah.
But let's take a hard left turn here, because if these glasses have the sensory capability to perfectly anchor an avatar into the physical chair across from you, that means the glasses understand the precise geometry of that physical chair.
They do.
They understand your entire room, and that turns the entire physical world into a digital playground.
Yes. And this brings us to LiDAR, light detection and ranging. These tiny 50-gram frames are constantly firing millions of invisible laser pulses into your environment.
Millions of them.
Millions. And measuring the exact nanosecond it takes for those photons to bounce off objects and return to the sensor.
Ah, time of flight mapping.
Precisely. By calculating the time of flight for those lasers, the glasses construct a millimeter-perfect, three-dimensional topological mesh of your surroundings in real time.
That's insane.
They know the height of your coffee table, they know the depth of your hallway, they even track the dynamic movement of your pet cat walking across the rug, making it part of the level design.
Which fully unleashes game engines to interact with physical reality. And that's how we get back to the dragon we started with. When that holographic dragon lands on your physical TV stand, the software knows the exact structural boundaries of the stand.
Right, it doesn't clip through it.
Exactly. The dragon's claws actually wrap around the physical edges. And when it breathes fire, the digital light from that fire creates physically accurate shadows that are cast behind your real-world couch.
What's fascinating here is that this spatial physics synthesis has created completely unprecedented genres of gaming.
Oh, totally.
For example, you have room-scale tower defense. Instead of looking at a screen, you are physically kneeling on your bedroom rug, setting up digital traps. Because high-resolution orcs are rendering as if they are literally crawling out from underneath the physical gap of your actual bedroom door.
That is so cool. Or tabletop holographic board games. You gather around your real dining table, but instead of little plastic miniatures, you have fully animated Dungeons & Dragons characters physically clashing in 3D right in front of you.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And it completely changes exercise, too. AR fitness RPGs actually map the topography of your local park. So you go for a jog, and the glasses render zombies that actually utilize the physical trees in the park to hide behind and ambush you. You are literally jogging and dodging physical branches and digital monsters simultaneously.
The physical and digital worlds are just perfectly synchronized.
They are.
But yeah.
And this is a huge, but this is where we have to look at the massive, unavoidable dark side of this technology.
Yeah, we have to talk about privacy.
Because having zombies hide behind real trees is thrilling, sure. But the underlying mechanic there requires millions of people walking through public spaces, wearing devices with always-on high-resolution cameras and LiDAR sensors, constantly mapping every single square inch of the world. What does that mean for public privacy?
Well, according to the analysis in Tech & Mag, privacy in public spaces is essentially a defunct concept.
Defunct.
Yes. The AI processing these environmental meshes features always-on facial recognition.
Wait, so as I walk down the street, my glasses are actively cross-referencing the faces of every single pedestrian I pass against massive cloud databases.
Yes. And it can instantly float their LinkedIn profile, their public Instagram link, or even just their name right above their head in physical space.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, the source does note that this specific public identification feature is heavily blocked in the European Union.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Due to strict biometric privacy laws. But the technological capability is completely optive and being utilized in other regions.
And the monetization of this spatial tracking leads to an even more claustrophobic problem, which is visual pollution. Because if the system can perfectly map a blank brick wall on your walk to work, it can sell that exact spatial coordinate to an advertiser.
Oh, absolutely.
And unless you are paying for a premium ad-free subscription tier for your glasses, the hardware will just render 3D holographic advertisements seamlessly into your physical environment.
Exactly. Picture this. You're sitting at a physical cafe table, right? And a hyper-realistic 3D holographic can of soda is rendered right next to your actual coffee cup.
Oh, man.
And you cannot look away from it because it is anchored to the physical world.
You can't even just close your eyes to escape pop-up ads on a screen anymore because they exist in the physical space you are navigating.
Right. Which leads to a really profound psychological crisis. This raises an important question about mental health. Psychologists in 2026 are documenting a widespread condition called reality dissociation syndrome.
Reality dissociation syndrome.
Yeah. We are seeing users wearing these MR glasses for upwards of 10 to 12 hours a day.
Well, yeah, because they need it for work and then they use them for entertainment right after.
Exactly. But the human brain is highly adaptable. When your optical nerve is constantly fed a hypersaturated, perfectly optimized, vibrantly colorful digital overlay for 12 hours a day, your dopamine baseline actually shifts.
Oh, I see where this is going.
The brain's reward centers adapt to this exaggerated perfect reality.
So what happens when you finally take those 50-gram frames off before bed?
Users report a sudden, intense feeling of emptiness. Without the digital filter, the physical world looks profoundly dull, colorless, and impoverished.
Wow.
The brain actually struggles to find base physical reality engaging anymore, and that's leading to deep depressive episodes and a compulsive need to put the glasses back on just to feel normal.
It's essentially a neuroplastic rewiring of the brain. Are regulators completely ignoring this?
No. Governments are being forced to intervene. We are currently seeing the drafting of right to disconnect protocols and labor laws to ensure companies cannot force employees to remain in MR spaces after hours.
That's a relief.
Yeah, and hardware mandates have also been universally implemented. Every single pair of smart glasses is now required by law to have bright, blinking red LED indicators on the outward-facing frame.
Oh, so people know they're being recorded.
Exactly. If the LiDAR is actively mapping the environment or the cameras are recording, those lights must flash to alert any bystanders that their physical space is being digitized.
Good. So what does this all mean for you listening right now? The final verdict from Tech & Mag is highly contextual. If your livelihood depends on multiple screens, you know, if you are a programmer, a designer, a financial analyst, or if you are a hardcore gamer, buying into the MER ecosystem today is an unparalleled productivity and entertainment upgrade. The spatial liberation is definitely worth the cost. But if you primarily use tech for casual social media scrolling, their advice is to wait. Let the next generation models drive the price down and push the battery life even further.
The ultimate takeaway here is the fundamental death of the virtual cave.
Yeah.
The era of logging off the real world to enter a digital one is over. The future is an aggressive, permanent enrichment of the physical environment. Soon, the physical act of holding a flat glass rectangle, a smartphone in your hand, will look as completely archaic and outdated as carrying around a mechanical typewriter.
Which leaves us with a critical and honestly somewhat unsettling thought to mull over, building directly on the mechanics of that reality dissociation syndrome we just talked about. If our neurochemistry becomes permanently calibrated to a world overlaid with infinite data, where dragons hang from our ceilings and every blank wall is painted with vibrant, customized 3D art, will base reality simply become a blank canvas that we can no longer tolerate?
It's a serious concern.
Are we engineering a future where looking at the unedited physical world is quite literally unbearable to the human brain? Think about that. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep your eyes wide open.